deep in the face of the King who gave all. You gave everything so you could meet with me. Will you meet with me? I will run to the clefts of the mountain and wait for you.
Starting a new message series this morning on a special group of psalms in the Bible that are called the Psalms of Ascent. And if you want to turn in your Bible with me at this time to Psalm 120, that's where we'll be starting. There's 15 of these psalms. They go from Psalm 120 to 134. And if you look in your Bible, if you look at the beginning of each psalm, you'll notice there's a little inscription under each of the numbers there that says the same thing, a song of ascents, a song of ascents, a song of ascents. And one of the reasons why we call these the Psalms of Ascent is because these are psalms that were sung by Jews traveling to Jerusalem for the three annual feasts. Now, there were three main feasts in Jerusalem each year. You had the Feast of Passover, that took place in the spring, the Feast of Pentecost in the summer, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, and that took place at harvest time in the fall. And you've probably also heard of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Rosh Hashanah, also known as Feast of Trumpets or the Jewish New Year. Both of those feasts take place 5 days and 10 days before this fall feast, and so some people would travel early to celebrate these as well. Of course, the big one out of all of these feasts is the one that we all know about, right, is Passover. And on Passover, the whole family would come up for the Passover to Jerusalem, while usually only the men were required to go up for the other two feasts. So when you think about it, Jesus would have sung these songs that we're going to be looking at. He would have sung these songs with his family as they made their way up to Jerusalem each year for the Passover. We even read in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And you might have noticed this word up over and over again there, and that's because Jerusalem is located, it's about 2,800 feet above sea level, so it doesn't matter what direction you're coming from, you are always going up to Jerusalem, and so that's one of the reasons why these are called the Psalms of Ascent. They were sung by people who were literally ascending. They were going up to Jerusalem for the feasts. But they're also called the Psalms of Ascent because the Psalms themselves, as you look at them as a collection, have an upward motion. And they begin here in Psalm 120 with the believer crying out to God in trouble far away from Jerusalem. And then as they make their journey, they end with the believer offering a praise to God in his temple courts. And so these are travel songs. And they're full of beautiful imagery, of very meaningful expression, and most of all, divine wisdom for the journey. Have you ever gone on a road trip? You know, you're going on a road trip, what do? You put together a playlist, right, or a mix of songs for the journey. Well, that's what these Psalms of Ascent are. They're short, they're easy to memorize, they were meant to be sung in praise and worship to God each year as the people went up to Jerusalem. God's people have always been a singing people and a worshiping people. And God gave us these Psalms, in fact, he gave us all of the Psalms in order to help us to give expression to the feelings and the emotions in our hearts as we worship God in prayer and in song. And these psalms have a lot to do with Jerusalem. We're going to see that again and again. What does Jerusalem represent in the Bible? It is the city of God. It's the place of the temple. It's the place where God chose to dwell and to meet with his people. And so as we read through the Psalms of Ascent, and as we study them together, they hold great meaning for us as well. Because as Christians, guess what? We are also on a journey. Not on a literal journey to Jerusalem, of course, but a spiritual journey, a pilgrimage of the heart. We read this in Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And I want you to know this morning, this is what you were made for. This is what you have been looking for all of your life. This is what you truly desire in your heart of hearts, to meet with God and to know him in the beauty of His presence. And so as we work our way through these Psalms and all that they teach us about our relationship with God, I want you to see that these Psalms of Ascent, they really serve as stepping stones along the way. These are stepping stones to God's heart. And so we don't want to just study them, but we want to learn them, and then we want to pray them back to God as He intended. So we're in Psalm 120 this morning. It's the first of these Psalms, and this is a Psalm about praying to God in times of trouble. Please stand with me together for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 120, beginning at verse 1. I call on the Lord in my distress, and He answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will He do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with the warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. This is God's holy word. Let us pray. Dear God, speak to us now through this psalm. Speak to us through this word. Help us to draw closer to You as we begin this new year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So as we begin these Psalms of Ascent, we're here in Psalm 120, and this is a psalm about trouble. A psalm about trouble. And the singer of this psalm is far away from Jerusalem, distant from God, in a faraway land. And you might wonder, well, why would these psalms begin with a song about trouble? Why not start your journey with a happy song, right? Well, nobody likes trouble. But God can use trouble in your life to draw you closer to Him. In fact, the starting point for our journey to God is always a place of discontent with this world and all that this world has to offer. And as Christians, we don't belong here, right? Our home is in another place. And although we should enjoy the good gifts that God gives us in this life, He wants us to do that, we can never be fully comfortable living in a world that is opposed to God and opposed to God's ways. And so Psalm 120 starts our journey by teaching us about how we should respond to God in times of trouble. And first of all, we learn that we should call on the Lord in times of trouble. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me now. I call on the Lord in my distress, and He answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. And so the Psalms of Ascent begin with what? They begin with a call to prayer. And really, what could be more appropriate? There is no way to meet with God apart from prayer. And if you're going to make this life journey with God by your side each and every day, going to meet with Him each and every day, prayer is going to need to be front and center. And not just prayer in the good times, not just prayers of praise when all is well and in God is blessing, but this psalm especially focuses on prayer during the bad times. So let me ask you this morning, what do you do when you're in trouble? What do you do when you're in trouble? Do you worry? Do you complain? Do you take it out on other people? Or do you pray? And see, this psalm shows us the best way. When in trouble, pray. You can put that on your refrigerator for the new year, right? When in trouble, pray. And the reason why is so simple, and yet at the same time so remarkable. The reason why is because God hears you when you pray. That's what the psalmist says in verse 1. I call on the Lord in my distress, and He answers me. And folks, that is so astonishing. When you pray, God, the God who created all things, the God who is bigger than the universe, He hears you. He pays attention to you. He draws close to you. He hears your every word. Never take that for granted. That God hears you when you pray. Now, in the original language, in the Hebrew, the first words in this psalm are the words, on the Lord. And the psalmist does that in order to emphasize that for us. Because when you, let's face it, everybody, all of us, everyone cries out when they're in trouble, right? When you're in trouble, we all cry out. Some of us cry out things we probably shouldn't cry out. But we all cry out when we're in trouble, right? But what matters is not that you cry out, but to whom are you going to cry out? To whom do you cry? And the psalmist says, I cry out to the Lord, and it is the Lord who answers me. And in the New Testament, we get a fuller revelation of who the Lord is. Who is the Lord? He is God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the New Testament, we learn that, therefore, all prayer must go through Jesus, the Son of God. And that's why Jesus said this in John chapter 16. He said, I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. We cry to the Lord through Jesus and in Jesus' name. The word that's translated distress here is a word that means trouble, distress, anguish. It's a word that means being closed in or confined. And so the idea here is that trouble is closing in all around you, and you are in great anguish. Why? Because you can't see any way out. And let's face it, apart from God, there may be no way out. But that's where prayer comes in. James chapter 5, verse 13 tells us plainly, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. And what James 5, 13 tells us by way of instruction, Psalm 120 tells us by way of testimony. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. God hears you when you pray. And therefore, when you are in trouble, you should cry out for God to save you. And that's exactly what the psalmist does in verse 2. He says, save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. Psalm 120, verse 2. So he begins by stating just a general fact. He calls on the Lord in times of trouble. So whatever your trouble, you can cry out to God. God will answer you. But then he goes on and he asks God to deliver him from a specific trouble that he's facing. Perhaps your trouble is different this morning. But his specific trouble that he was facing was that of lying lips and deceitful tongues. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. The word save there means to deliver, to rescue, to snatch away. He is surrounded by liars. And he's saying, God, deliver me from this trouble. Have you ever been lied to? Have you ever been lied about? Hurts, doesn't it? Painful. You notice no one ever tells any good lies about you, right? You know, you're a terrible person, and they go around saying, they're a really good person, right? They never do that, right? They never tell you the good lies about you. Now, when they lie, it's meant to hurt you. Meant to drag you down. The word that's translated deceitful here in verse 2, it's a word that means treacherous. In the Hebrew, it's related to the word to shoot an arrow. It means that these are nasty, cutting, wounding lies that damage your reputation. They pierce like sharp arrows. Deceit implies intent. So these lies are not innocent mistakes, but they are meant to hurt you. The Psalms of Ascent are all about going to meet with God, to worship him in the beauty of his presence. Jesus said this in John 4, 24. He said, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so these deceitful lies that we read about in Psalm 120, they are the exact opposite of the atmosphere of truthful worship that God calls us to and that the psalmist so desires in his life. So that's our first application from this psalm. Call on the Lord in times of trouble. You're going to go through times of trouble this year. There's going to be some good times, but there are going to be times of trouble. Call on God, because God hears you when you pray. Cry out for him to save you. Our second application is this. And once again, I didn't mention this earlier, but there is an outline in your bulletin if you want to follow along in that or jot down some notes. But the second application is this. Know that God will judge the wicked. Know that God will judge the wicked. Look at verses 3 and 4 with me now. The psalmist writes, what will he do to you? And what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows and with burning coals of the broom tree. And these verses tell us several things about God's judgment. First of all, they tell us that God's judgment is appropriate and just. God's punishments are never too light, and at the same time, they are never too harsh. But God's punishments are always appropriate to the offense and perfectly just. We read this in Jeremiah 9:8. It says, "Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks with deceit." James 3:6 says this about the tongue. "The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body." And so we see that the tongue in Scripture is compared negatively to what? To arrows and fire. And according to Psalm 120, what is the punishment for a deceitful tongue? Arrows and fire. A warrior's sharp arrows and the burning coals of the broom tree. And so the tongue that is deceitful and that hurts others will itself be hurt. Remember we said earlier that the word for deceit is related to that word for shooting an arrow? Well, that's what the deceitful tongue gets in return. Proverbs 26:27 says this, "If a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. If a man rolls a stone, it will roll back on him." What's that saying? It's saying that we reap what we sow. We might call it poetic justice. But what it means here in Psalm 120 is that God's judgment is appropriate to the offense, and it is always perfectly just. That's the first thing we learn from these verses. God's judgment is appropriate and just. Secondly, it is also certain and severe. And we learn from Psalm 120 that the appropriate for judgment for sin is very severe. The appropriate and just judgment for sin is very severe. And it's pictured here by a warrior's sharp arrows and the burning coals of the broom tree. Let's talk about those images for a moment here. The arrows speak of the suddenness of God's judgment coming upon the wicked. That's a theme we see throughout Scripture. The wicked feel safe and secure. They say, "Nothing will ever happen to me. All is well." And when God's judgment comes, it comes suddenly. And the fact that they are a warrior's sharp arrow speaks of the skill and the accuracy of the one who draws the bow. Hey, this is a warrior shooting the arrow. You can be certain that he will not miss. We read a similar word of judgment in Psalm 64. "They sharpen their tongues," once again about tongues and deceit. "They sharpen their tongues like swords. They aim their words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man. They shoot at him suddenly without fear." Well, what is the just and appropriate and certain and severe punishment for that? God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they will be struck down. He will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin. We're always crying out for justice. Well, God will bring justice. What about these coals? We're told that the coals are the coals here of the broom tree. The broom tree was kind of a straggly looking tree, about 12 feet in height. It was known for its exceptionally hard wood that produced an extremely hot charcoal that would retain its heat for a long time. And so if the arrows here in the psalm speak of the suddenness of God's judgment, the coals speak of the duration of the judgment. The coals burn slowly, and they point to a judgment that will last a long time. When God's judgment comes, it comes suddenly, but it will not end quickly. Once again, we read a similar word of judgment in Psalm 140. "Let the heads of those who surround me be covered with the trouble their lips have caused. Let burning coals fall upon them. May they be thrown into the fire, into miry pits, never to rise." Hell is forever. And those who die outside of Christ will face God's severe judgment for sin for all of eternity. These verses in Psalm 120, they are both a warning to the wicked and a reassurance to the righteous that God is just and that he will punish every sin. Exodus chapter 34, verse 7 says this, God does not leave the guilty unpunished. And that means one of the applications we can draw from this is this, when you are attacked by other people, you do not need to attack back. That's why we read in Romans 12, 19, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. It is not your place to judge the sins of others. So when people attack you, what do you do as a Christian? You love them. You forgive them. You pray for those who persecute you. You take it all to the cross of Jesus Christ. And you leave it in God's hands for him to handle. What do we learn from these middle verses of the psalm? God's judgment is appropriate and just. God's judgment is certain and severe. And so that's our second application we learned from this psalm this morning. Know that God will punish the wicked. Number one, call on the Lord in times of trouble. Number two, know that God will punish the wicked. And then finally, number three, know that you do not belong to this world. You do not belong to the world. Look at verses 5 and 7 now, where the psalmist writes. He says, woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. There's a number of things we can learn from these verses as believers in Christ. First of all, the Christian is uncomfortable living in the world. As a Christian, you are called to be different from the world. In this world, it has no place for God, no place for Christ. And therefore, as a follower of Christ, guess what? You are going to feel out of place in this world. That's what we see here in verse 5. Meshech and Kedar, these refer to peoples rather than places. They're not cities, but they're the names of people. The people of Meshech lived to the north of Israel by the Black Sea. The people of Kedar lived to the south in the Arabian Desert. What's the psalmist saying? He's saying, I'm surrounded. I'm surrounded by people who do not care about God, who do not care about God's ways. And that causes him great distress, great discomfort. He says, woe to me that I dwell among the people of Meshech, among the people of Kedar. Woe to me that I live in a world that does not care for God. And it's the same way for us as Christians living in the world. It gets uncomfortable for us at times, doesn't it? We don't always feel at home here. We don't always fit. We're pilgrims on a journey. We are strangers in a strange land. As the old hymn puts it, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. Jesus said in John 15, 19, he said, if you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. It would embrace you. Say, hey, come be with us. Come go against God with us. Come do your own thing with us. But Jesus says, as it is, you do not belong to the world. I've chosen you out of the world. And that is why the world hates you. And even though we may not feel comfortable living in the world, we feel out of place, this is exactly the place where God wants you to be. This is where he has chosen for you to live out your Christian faith in obedience to him and as a witness to those around you. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We read those words from John chapter 17 earlier, verses 14 and 16. Jesus prayed. He said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. And so my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. So as Christians, we feel uncomfortable living in the world. And then secondly, as Christians, we can also get tired of living in the world. Can't you just hear that in the psalmist's voice there in verses 5 and 6? First he says, woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. Now we often see the phrase, how long, in the Psalms. We see that a lot. This is the only time you'll see this phrase, too long, in the Psalms. The psalmist says, it's been too long. He's tired of it all. He says, no more. I'm ready to begin my journey to go and meet with God. Not simply in the thought of death going to be with God in heaven, but I'm ready to go and meet with God today and every day. I'm going to put God at the center of my life. His attitude is the same as that of what we find in Psalm 42, verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go? When can I go and meet with God? The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 3:20, he said, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, this world is not our home. We may be living on earth, but our citizenship is in heaven. And as Christians, guess what? We are homesick for heaven. We long to be with Christ. Let me tell you this morning, if you're not homesick for heaven, if you're not longing for that, then perhaps you need to evaluate, you need to consider whether heaven is truly your home if you are not homesick for that wonderful place. So can you relate to these verses? Psalm 120, have you been too long apart from God? Too long apart from meeting with Him? Spending time with Him? See, that's what these Psalms of Ascent are all about. They begin with our dissatisfaction and our discontent. We get tired of this world. We get tired of living in the ways of the world. We say, too long. I'm ready to leave this behind. And then we begin our journey of drawing closer to God and closer to His ways each and every day of our lives. The Christian is uncomfortable living in the world. The Christian gets tired of living in the world. And then finally, the Christian longs for peace in the midst of a hostile world. Look at Psalm 120 again now, verses 6 and 7. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I'm a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Folks, this world is a hostile place. It is hostile to believers, and its people are hostile to each other. The whole history of the world can be told simply with its wars. And it is a long, sad history of fightings and conflict. In the midst of a hostile world, as Christians, we pray for it, we desire it, and we long for peace. And the word for peace in this psalm is the Hebrew word shalom. It's that beautiful word that means not merely the absence of conflict, but it's a word that means health and wholeness, full peace. And the psalmist is a person of peace, longing for peace, living among those who hate peace. Do you long for peace in the midst of this world? As a Christian, you should. God should put that in your heart. The Bible urges you as a Christian to pursue peace in every aspect of your life. What did Jesus say? He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Romans 12:18 tells you this, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do you long for true peace in your own life? Let me tell you this morning, it is only found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Jesus said this in John 16:33. He said, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have what? Trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Yeah, you're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to have trouble in 2017. But what does Psalm 120 teach you? It says, call on the Lord. Call on God in your times of trouble. What is this world? It is a hostile place full of lies and deceit and war. But Jesus Christ brings truth and peace into your life. Jesus said in John 14:27, He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So Psalm 120, this is the psalm that gets us going. Now, it starts us on our journey in these psalms of ascent. Three important applications. Call on the Lord in times of trouble. Know that God will punish the wicked. Know that you do not belong to the world. What does this psalm mean? It means that as followers of Christ, we are in the world but not of the world. It means that the world is opposed to God and His ways. The world is opposed to God's truth. The world is opposed to God's people. The world hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their evil deeds will be exposed. That God will judge the wicked, but He will save His people. What does this psalm mean? It means that we are pilgrims on a journey. That God has changed our hearts in Christ. And so we no longer desire the things of this world. But we desire first and foremost to be with God and to meet with Him. And this is a journey that begins with our conversion. It ends with heaven. But it's a journey that we follow every day and every week of our lives. And it is a journey that begins and ends with prayer. And so I want you to know as we enter this new year that whatever your trouble, God is there for you. So talk to Him. Cry out to Him. I call on the Lord in my distress, and He does what? He answers me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank You so much for this beautiful psalm. It's a sad psalm. It begins in a difficult place, but Lord, I like that because we begin in a difficult place. And Lord, as we follow this psalm and the others between now and Easter, as we walk through the progression that we see in these psalms, Lord, I pray that they will indeed draw us closer to You. Lord, may we go back to these psalms many times in the weeks and months ahead to read them, to pray them back to You, to take them into our hearts. As we long to meet with You, my heart and flesh cry out for the living God. When can I go? When can I go to meet with God? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.